So hi, Welcome to Noise Podcast. I'm Shane.
I'm Glory.
Happy season 8.
Woo!
The official start. We've had the unofficial start since the beginning of the year, but this right here officially starts it.
This is it.
Yeah, we're officially off the break. It's been exactly a month since the last time I saw Glory face to face. And not the first time I've spoken to her in a month. But first time we're Zooming in a month.
We're zooming.
We actually did it when we said we were going to take a month off. We actually did that.
Exactly. See?
Yeah. So I just
had to mark off the calendar.
That was pretty cool.
Yeah. It's fucking awesome.
You know, in Good Noise Podcast news, we opened the merch store over the weekend.
Oh, yeah. We did.
That's very fun.
It is very fun and cool. And if you want to get some GNP swag, just go to goodnoisepodcast.com. Of course, my fucking thing glitched. goodnoisepodcast.creator-spring.com.
What a URL. You can find that in the description. It's on our YouTube channel. There's a shop tab, a store tab, and then
yep.
Twitch. It's right below the stream if you're watching on there.
It's right there. And then in addition to that, we also launched an Amazon storefront. So if you'd like to check out the gear that we use in our interviews and podcasts, you can check them out there and possibly grab something or judge us and say, wow, that's why it sounds like shit.
Yeah, fucking scrub equipment over there.
Yeah. So go
your,
do that.
Your podcast sounds like shit because your boom arm's $10. That's why, not because I don't know how to mix audio and balance it and all that fucking shit.
Yeah, no, it's the fucking boom arm's fault. Fuck you, boom.
But yeah, check all that shit out. For the merch, use code GNP2024 until the end of January for 20% off your order. Got more shit in the bag. Glory sent me approved designs today that we're going to be launching soon, so that's very fun. Excited to explore this side because we've never really done merch. We had hoodies and we've done festival shirts in the past, but we've never had a merch store. I mean, we had the Redbubble store, but that was a joke.
That was the literally like the only thing on the store was like GNP's pog or something, and it was a sticker. It was fucking awesome. I have one.
I wanted to order it as a quilt. Or it's like the top sheet on the comforter, and my mom told me that the amount that we were charging for it was too much and not worth it. But I wanted GNP penis pog on a comforter. I don't know.
You know, we could probably do it on fucking Spring. I have the screenshots still, and we could order it for wholesale.
No.
If you want one for like $40 or something. Yeah, I think that's fucking awesome. That's a good investment.
That's very exciting. You would think it's so early in the year. There's no way Shane will have a show to talk about.
Shane has a show to talk about. We're only like 2 weeks into the year. There's no way he's gone to a show this year.
There's no way Shane was at the Stone Pony last Thursday seeing Motion City soundtrack and Gully Boys. There's no way.
Dude, scrolling through fucking Instagram stories and seeing you at a show, I just saw it and I went, it's like the biggest fucking sigh ever, man.
It was a last minute, well, not super last minute, but it was a week of decision. I had wanted to go, but the show had sold out, and then they dropped a couple more face value tickets because the resale was astronomical. I was like, I've seen this band enough. They're always great, but I can miss them this time. It's okay. And then they dropped face value, and I was like, so much for that. I said I wouldn't pay astronomical resale. I never said I wouldn't pay face value for this show.
Exactly.
So my little butt got in there. So saw Gully Boys, saw Motion City soundtrack. Gully Boys was cool. Although whoever was doing their sound was doing them very dirty. It did not sound good. It was bad.
Damn.
Yeah, I was like, I don't know if it's my earplugs because I have those eargasms, so they like filter the sound, so like it sounds like you're at the show, like mm-hmm. that you don't have earplugs in, but you have earplugs mm-hmm. in, and it's really yeah. weird. So sometimes it fucks with the sound a little bit. Like I'll hear pops and crackles and shit for just like no reason. So I thought it might be the earplugs, and I took the earplugs out, and I was like, no, it's just still the sound. Yeah, it just yeah. doesn't sound great. And then so that, but they put on a good show despite the sound problems, everything being too loud and the vocals not being loud enough. And the bass being the loudest of all the instruments. I don't know what that was about.
It's just fucking, that's a party. That's what that's about, man. It's fucking awesome.
And then Motion City soundtrack came on. They always put on one hell of a show. Like they're one of those bands where I mean I almost missed them this time, but I typically don't miss them when they come through. I don't listen to them an awful lot, but they're just such a great live band, and you know, Justin is such a charismatic frontman, and he's just like so energetic. Like he's the person I watch on stage because he mm-hmm. just like he is just a frontman, like the essence yeah. of a frontman, and yeah. You know, I've seen them a couple times before his back injury when he was playing guitar, and you know, he was great then. And I've seen them post his back injury where they have someone else playing his guitar parts. I mean, when I saw them last, he had a fucking cane, and he still put on one hell of a show. This time he didn't need a cane, but like him being able to move like and be himself, and he's kind of awkward because he's performed 20 years with a guitar and now he doesn't have anything in front of him, so he's a little awkward and like he's a little anxious. Aww. And like you can tell, but mm-hmm. it like just adds, like it's just so him, like it just yeah. adds to the performance. So yeah, they put on one hell of a show, and you could tell that he was a lot happier on that stage than Good. He's been in the past. The past couple of times I've seen them headline, you know, there was a, you know, he spent a lot of time talking about his mental health and, mm-hmm. and, you know, what he was dealing with and whatnot. And obviously it fits the band because it's kind of been, it's what they're singing about and what the band's been about for the past, yeah. you know, 20 plus years. But this time it was just kind of like, let's play the songs. And like, he didn't like stop the show and have like talks about the mental health, and then towards the end he was like, I've been going to therapy and this, that, and the other thing, and like I'm doing a lot better. And it's like yeah. it just clearly shows he just like looked happy to be there. And you know, because he's had a hell of a couple of years that he's, you know, he's been posting about online, so it was good to see him happy and doing well up there.
Yeah,
so they put yeah. on one hell of a show.
Hell yeah.
It was very hot and sweaty in there, though, and there were a lot of fucking people, which I knew was going to happen when they put out more tickets after it sold out. I'm like, well, now it's going to be oversold, and I'm going to be part of the problem.
And I'm okay with it.
Yeah, and I'm totally fine with it, but yeah, it was hot in there. But one hell of a show. Next week, I got Beartooth, the Plot and You, Invent Animate, and Sleep Theory. And then
crazy fucking life.
Yeah, that's Tuesday next week, and then I have Pink Shift, Jiraiya, and Fox Teeth that Friday.
Crazy fucking life.
Yeah, yeah, I'm very yeah. excited about that Beartooth show.
Dude, they're playing our favorite song.
They're playing my two favorite songs, the better me and Might Love Myself.
It's going to be a great show. I know you're going to be the loudest one there.
The funny thing was, I had bought my ticket, and then I was listening to that record, and I put in our group chat, I was like, if they play this fucking song, I'm going to be pissed. And then the set list came out, and they're obviously playing that song. It's like what they're pushing on social media right now. And I tweeted from my personal, I was like, a screenshot of the record with the Better Me and My Love Myself next to each other. I was like, I can't believe Beartooth is playing these two absolute snoozers on tour.
Did you get any traction?
No,
with that?
not a single like, but that's neither here nor there.
I'll retweet it after this.
Well, I'm just like, as much as I'm bummed about that, I mean, I knew they were going to be playing a bunch of songs off the new record, which I'm fine about. I knew that going into it. I'm mm-hmm. just glad that there's going to be a different set list.
Oh yeah, because your complaint every time is yeah. every time you've seen Beartooth, they play the same fucking 12 songs.
Yeah, I went back and looked at previous set lists. I was like, every single time. I'm bummed that they're not ending, because I saw them four times during the Below album cycle, and every single time they ended with the last riff, which is like that last instrumental track.
Yeah.
They aren't doing that this time, which is like, I understand, we're past it, we're past below now, we're now in the surface, but I feel like that's just such a cool way to end every single show for the rest of your career. I don't know.
Yeah. It's their closer.
Yeah. Like
they could have just left.
Like
it.
What a closer. But that that's fine. Caleb Shulman will talk about that after this. You know.
Yeah, email us, man.
Yeah. Yeah, man, we can talk about it on here, actually, if you want to.
Exactly.
But you've got shows to kick off the year.
I have just one show this month, thankfully. I have The Maine, Daisy Grenade, and Weathers. It's their fucking hometown show in Phoenix, Arizona. Don't ask. I'm very excited.
Don't ask, I'm getting there.
Yeah, dude, I don't know how the fuck I'm getting. I don't know. Very excited. I've been listening to them for maybe six, seven years, I'd say, because Lovely Little Lonely came out in like 2017, I think, and that's when I found them. So I'm very excited. Even though they're fucking, I fucking hate when bands do this. They drop an album, right? And then they announce a tour with that album. And everyone's like, yay, our assumption is that you're going to play majority of the songs from your newest record, right? No, they're only playing like four songs from my favorite record that they've done, which is their newest one, the self-titled.
Mm-hmm.
And they're playing a bunch of, I think it's like Sounds Good, Feels Good. And then just like their other shit.
Sounds Good, Feels Good, as in the 5 Seconds of Summer record?
Fuck! What is it? It's like Gold and White. It's like
the one with Sticky EXO. No,
it's their first record. It's like an EP, I think.
I want to say it's Can't Stop, Won't Stop, but that's another boy band. Is it Can't Stop, Won't Stop?
This is so embarrassing.
For the record, I'm not a fan of this band. Yes, Can't Stop, Won't Stop.
I am. Yeah, there you go. See, Sounds Good, Feels Good, Can't Stop, Won't Stop. It's the same sentence that they're all saying right now. But they're playing like a handful of those, which is, you know, it's fair because it's their debut and they're celebrating like 10 years of The Maine or something. But it's like, guys, do that after this tour. You can celebrate, you know, your anniversary after this album tour, because I just want to hear the entire record, me personally.
Mm-hmm.
But it's okay because they're also playing favorites from my other favorite records, American Candy and, as I said, Lovely Little Lonely, and then the self-titled, just Final Live. Very excited for that. Excited to see Weathers live for the first time in Daisy Grenade, especially because I missed them at Fall Out Boy because it was like 5 hours away. And I was like, I'm not that big of a Fall Out Boy fan. I think I'll pass. So I'm very excited for that. And then in March, I have like 5 different shows, but we're not there yet, so I won't talk about that yet. And they're all in the same fucking week.
Yeah,
too.
March is crazy. It's all it's the end of that fucking month, bro.
Yeah, it's hell. Genuinely, like it is fucking hell. I'm excited though.
Yeah,
it's
yeah.
gonna be great.
Starting to save for that now.
Dude, don't even remind me that I have to fucking spend more money.
But we've got some records to talk about. There wasn't a lot. We got some stuff. The last week was the start of, you know, the kind of the first full week, but we've got some stuff from the first week of the year actually to kick that off. Lowest dropped their new EP, Distance and Motion. We had Patrick and Ricky on the podcast. Ricky briefly, he had to bounce after about 35 minutes to chat. We chatted with both of them about the EP.
Chatted to Patrick about the EP, and then Ricky would say something offhand, not even related to the
that
EP.
That clip is crazy, bro.
I was trying to find a good clip, and that one, it was perfectly balanced.
I didn't even know that about that one. I wanted you to use the one where I called out Patrick for setting the release date the morning of the interview.
Which that one's a jewel. That one's a little gem that you know, someone will find.
Someone will find if they watch the first 2 minutes of the interview.
There you go. They clicked onto it. That's all I can ask. That's all I can ask.
But yeah, this, you know, we go check out that interview if you like Patrick and Ricky, if you like Lois, if you like Ice Nine Kills, just go watch it, please. EP's great. I was when I was sifting through the interview, I caught a part where Patrick was talking about the headspace for the EP and the dichotomy between like distance and motion, and you know how he managed to fit those words into every single song, and at like at what point did he decide that was going to be the title and the whole meaning behind the EP, and then it was like, oh, I can fit those words into all the songs. So listening through now, knowing that that's what's happening, I picked up on it on this listen in every single song. I was like, that is so fucking cool.
Fucking, it like stands out like a sore thumb.
Yeah.
Once you hear him say that, it's like, okay, all right, and then you can't unhear it. It just stands out.
Yeah, but they're fantastic musicians. So this EP is fantastic. It's awesome to hear Patrick singing and screaming because he is great at that. Plays drums like an animal. Ricky sounds great on Candlelight. His guitars sound great on all the other songs. And it's just a great fucking EP.
Yeah, absolutely. Honestly, I have no notes for this EP. They did fucking amazing. As you said, it's a match made in heaven. But I mean, when you have two musicians who have been touring with each other for 6 years, I'd say 6-7 years, the energy and should be good. I'd assume, I'd hope and pray, fingers crossed. So just them working together, it seemed easy and it seemed just natural when they were talking about it in the interview. So everything came out well, and I brought it up in the interview and Ricky fucking took the question the wrong way, so I'm still gonna say it. I'm so happy with how this EP came out because it's very cohesive, even though it took like 4 years to make, because of all the tours and the pandemic and working over Zoom and literally everything you can imagine happened during the creation of this EP. So I'm just so happy that the vision stayed clear and they kept the correct end goal in mind during this entire process. And no, Ricky, it's not because you're the fucking producer.
Was that the question where he then bounced out after he answered it?
I think so. Because and he left and I was fucking pissed.
You re-asked it and then Patrick actually answered it.
Yes.
Because I had to find a way to stitch it together where it all made sense. And I think that was the question.
I definitely re-asked it after Ricky left because Ricky was like, Patrick, I'll take this one. And I was like, you are the last person. Because
Patrick's audio had went out.
True. So much shit happened in that interview. It was an hour long. Yeah. So the plus shit we had to cut out.
Yeah.
But yeah, great EP. Candlelight is great. But my favorite is the closer. My Spotify is fucking glitched.
War Memorial.
My brain broke with that one. But yeah, both vocalists are crazy on it. It's just, it's a beautiful sounding song. So yeah, that was great.
Hell yeah.
Bring Me the Horizon dropped a new single, Kool-Aid. I thought this was good. It just, it's catching me off guard because like, it's kind of what I expect from Bring Me the Horizon. But at the same time, I look back and I'm like, what happened in Bring Me the Horizon? Even though, like, I was never, like, a fan of them.
What happened?
But it's like, it's like, guys, what happened here? I just got here, but I'm like, something's wrong, right? It sounds great. I think Ollie sounds great. Him talking at the end sounds like Louis Tomlinson, so that genuinely was a jump scare for me when I heard it. I was like, what the? Oh, and then I was like, oh, I forgot he's British. So that's my review of that song.
Yeah, I like this song. We've been a little all over the place with these singles so far. Didn't know what to expect when it was announced that they were dropping a song called Kool-Aid, and the cover art looked like that, and the song title was Kool-Aid. Because
like very irritable or angry in the circle.
I was like, this fucking band should take a nap. I'm over this.
We don't even want the EP anymore.
Yeah, I don't want whatever. This better be a triple album with how long it's taken. This is getting a little ridiculous, but song's pretty awesome. You know, it's heavy. It's what I want from Bring Me the Horizon. I mean, this era has been all over the place. Fucking, I think back to Lost.
I try not to.
Yeah, I think back to Lost and I get upset. And then I think of songs like Amen and I'm like, oh, yeah, they still do heavy sometimes.
They're
and
still kicking.
Yeah, that's fine. I just, the pop stuff, I can't get into this era's pop stuff. Like, I love Amo. And that's not a heavy record.
That's a hot take,
yeah.
Apparently.
I love Amo. But this era is a little, like, it's a little all over the place. Like, it, you know, which is intentional, obviously, but I'm just not into that. But I'm sure in the context of the record, first one of the year,
Jesus.
It will be fantastic. You know, I don't know if you saw on Twitter, they've been teasing some songs off of the upcoming quadruple LP dropping in 2032. And Under Oath is on one of the songs.
Oh, shit. That's big.
Yeah. So we got at least one heavy song on the record, because who knows if these songs that they're dropping right now are even going to be on the project. Like, there has been no confirmation on that. Like, they announced a project with the singles, but then they delayed it. So
they might have been like, these don't fit on the album
anymore.
Yeah,
who knows?
Yeah, they're going to fucking pull the used.
Yeah, Ollie could be like, hey, oi, Louis Tomlinson, come in here.
What?
I don't know. Anything's possible with this fucking band now.
You have a fucking
They've been
point.
Talking. There's been... Ollie said something about Billie Eilish on stage, a feature with her.
Yeah,
that would break the internet.
I feel like that would be pretty good, because it could kind of give the same vibe as what's the Evanescence and
Amy Lee.
Yeah,
that
one. It could
be
that contrast of a song, because she
also
has a very pretty voice.
Yes, true. It depends on what era she pulls from. She pulls from the last fucking Sleeper record.
Oh,
she can keep that shit.
Acoustic song.
Yes, you can keep that shit all day and then some. The record before that, when she was doing like the dark alt pop,
moody.
The moody vibe that she had going that suddenly disappeared would work, or somewhere, you know, maybe even a little bit brighter than that. But the fucking lullaby shit she dropped last, you can keep
that shit.
Yeah,
keep that shit.
You can
lock
keep
it up.
That. While we're talking about crazy collabs, this isn't Bring Me the Horizon, but Cradle of Filth and Ed Sheeran.
I saw that. You sent that through the chat, and I was like, I don't even
I thought State of the Scene was bullshitting, and then there's a Metal Inject article right below that, and they're like, this isn't a shitpost.
They said, no, guys, we're serious. Crazy fucking combo. But he did the thing with fucking Bring Me the Horizon, so like anything's possible, I guess. I don't know why pop people are getting into alt now.
Let them.
But like, I'm not like mad at it, because it's kind of just crazy. It's like, no fucking way. And then like, it's good.
Yeah, someone like Ed Sheeran makes sense, because he's just so talented that like, he can do anything. Like, he performs by himself, which I didn't know.
Wait, it's just him on stage?
I think so.
That's crazy.
Yeah, he's got like all these pedals and shit.
Yeah. Wow.
Like, you go, King. You fucking go.
You know what? You know what? Ed Sheeran, thumbs up.
Yeah. I don't know how, but they found me. Dropped a new single, Infatuation, off their upcoming record, Gloom Division, coming out next month, about 5 weeks away.
Oh, yes.
I need it in my ear holes now. I'm getting impatient. I thought the song was okay. It's been the one that's had to grow on me the most. When I heard it, when it dropped, Thursday at midnight, I checked it out, and I was like, not that it's out of left field, because it makes sense for, you know, we got songs like this kind of that were on the last record. So it wasn't like out of left field, but definitely the one that's taking the most adjusting, which is ironic, because What Love, he was like, you have to listen to it five times and then you'll get it.
50 million times, understand it.
I liked it on the first listen. Meanwhile, this one I've seen, you know, a bunch of people being like, this song is so good. And I'm like, it's fine, but like the other two singles blow this one out of the water, in my opinion.
Wow.
Like it's certainly grown on me and I like it, mm-hmm. but What Love and Gloomtown Brats are my favorites over this one, especially Gloomtown Brats. That song goes so hard.
That's fair. Okay. It's funny because this is my favorite one so far because it's like, okay, all right, let me break this down to you. So this song either sounds like a very nostalgic, like couch commercial song. Sorry. That's like a good thing. That's a good thing. Or it sounds like a song that would be used in like an early 2000s movie when like a girl has like headphones on and it's like sunny and she's like walking around the neighborhood and then like a bike runs into her and that's like the meet cute of the movie. So like it sounds like one of those. I think it's a cute song. I like it. And to me it sounds the most like the last era. Or not the last era. Sorry, I'm stuck in fuck, what was it called? The Black Album?
The EP.
The EP,
1981 extended play.
Extended play. Good job. Good job. Good job. I don't know howie. Yeah.
Yeah, we are not the search party here. We're I don't know howies.
Exactly. Damn right. Damn right.
Yeah, but this one does not stomp out my excitement for the record. I still think that this record's going to be insane because, you know, the songs we've heard thus far have all been good. So I'm very excited for next month.
Hell yeah.
Dallin, we're free when you're free.
Whenever.
That's all I'm going to say.
Whenever. Fit for a King, back. Dropped a new single, Keeping Secrets. I fucking love this song. I fucking love this song. I think it's a little more poppy, I guess, lighter than their regular stuff, at least just to my recent memory. So it kind of caught me off guard because I was like, whoa.
There's a lot of singing on this one.
Yeah, there's like a lot of singing.
You can hear Tuck too. Tuck is singing. I was so fucking excited after because we had talked about, you know, we interviewed him about Off-Road Minivan. We had talked about, you know, it came up him singing versus not singing in Fit for a King. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he's singing on a track and I was so fucking excited to hear that because his voice is awesome.
Yes, absolutely. So that was just fucking awesome. I really like this track. I'm excited to see the direction that they go in. I know there are probably some fucking metalheads pissing and pooping their pants right now because of the little tiny genre shift. But whatever. I think it sounds great and I love it.
I've seen a lot of positive comments. I've seen the band Kirby and Tuck both tweeting about how stoked they are about the response because it is definitely a little bit of a shift, but nothing too drastic. I mean, it's still got a breakdown in there. Heavy. It's still a metalcore song. It's just there's a singing chorus. They're not just screaming the whole time. Yeah,
exactly.
I saw Kirby today saying that he was very excited about the response to the record the single because there is more singing on it, and he's been like, self-conscious about putting out songs like that. So he's like, I was nervous putting this one out, but I'm stoked about the response to it so far.
Wow.
But this fucking song, bro.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we are the second week of January, and this one's a Song of the Year contender already.
100%. Like,
it's so good. I mean, I keep putting it on.
Yeah.
I was listening to the podcast playlist. I was like, run that one back.
I'll listen to that one more time just so I can really process it. Yeah. You know?
And I'm okay with repeating this song and putting it on loop because they have been tweeting, you know, band members have been tweeting about how no album this year. They're putting out singles to kind of test the waters and do different things. And they're working on a record, but they're trying out different things and not putting it into a piece of music. So
yeah,
this song is not part of a record. It's not the first single of something. So I'm looping away, bro. Cause if I get tired of it,
there's gonna be a new one.
There's not going to be a record that I'm going to want to listen to with this song smack dab in the middle. And if there is, and they're lying, Well, then that's okay because the song goes incredibly hard.
Exactly. But I feel like it wouldn't be too bad to listen to it one more time in the context of the record.
Yeah, it's fine. But exactly. This song's fucking incredible. I love the singing chorus, you know, Kirby and Tuck together sounds so great. Mm-hmm. You know, the breakdown is awesome. I mean, it's it's everything I want in a modern metalcore track.
Absolutely. Yeah. It's fucking beautiful.
Yeah. Ryan Oakes dropped a new single, Espresso. This one was interesting because he's been doing a lot of like alt and rock rap, and this was just not. This is just like a bouncy fucking beat.
Yeah, this is just bouncy rap.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it was pretty fucking good. I mean, I had seen him talking a little bit about it and how it was going to be different, but I wasn't, you know, I haven't been like keeping up with this song drop. I was so like tuned out of music. I was just like, I need the month to not think about tunes.
New releases
at all.
Yeah. And upcoming shit. Yeah,
I was like, so I saw him talking about it a little bit, but totally took me off guard when I listened to it for the first time, but it's fucking good nonetheless.
Absolutely. This is hands down my favorite track that he's released.
Nice.
It is so fucking, as you said, bouncy. It's upbeat. It's just fucking cool as shit. I don't know. I fucking love it. Like he has a line where it's just like, I'm going to quote it incorrectly, but if you fucking listen to the song, you know what I'm talking about. Where he has a line, strapless, just like my girlfriend's bra. He says, it's like, it's just how he fucking delivers it. I went, whoa, what the fuck? This is, I don't know. I really liked this one a lot. I did loop this one. And every time it comes on, because I've listened to the playlist like 6 times a day because it was fucking 38 minutes. I've always gotten excited when I hear the little beat in the beginning. Good job. You're onto something with this. I fucking loved this. Good job, Ryan.
Hell yeah.
Kill the Lights dropped a new single, From Ashes. I fucked with this one. I liked it. Yeah. Again, not super heavy, but it was good.
No,
yeah.
They announced their new record comes out in March.
Mm-hmm.
So the singles off this one have been divisive for sure. Mm-hmm. There have been some straight hard rock tunes that you know, weren't huge fans of. They had the heavier songs that I liked because that was kind of what I liked off the first record and what the first record mainly did. And this one, I find it kind of in the middle where it is a hard rock song, but it is a lot more melodic and has some heavier moments. Like I noticed that the chorus, it's like the chorus is fucking groovy. Like,
yes,
there's just something about it. So I like this one. I'm patiently waiting for the record. It comes out in a couple of months and we'll see what the final verdict is. But for right now, based on this song and based on the previous singles, we're going into this one excited.
Hell yeah. And heavy on the melodic note that you said, cause that fucking opening riff made me go, okay, what's going on here, guys? Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's so groovy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. So they did something with that one. They did something with that one.
Yeah. And for our last topic, Pali Royale dropped their new single, You Make Me Not Want to Die. I'm trying to figure out how the band that made Dying in a Hot Tub wrote this song. But I'm just going to be honest and say I didn't hate this.
You did not hate it?
I did not hate it. I didn't love it, but, you know, I did not like their last record at all.
Wasn't that the Bastards?
No, they had another one.
Really?
Yeah.
I fucking blocked that shit.
Exactly. I didn't think this was terrible. I mean, my ship had Fever Dream 2022. My ship has long since sailed with the band. But I like this one, I think. I'm not like, because it's not even that like whether or not it's a good song, because I think that it's a solid song. It's just coming from
the band that wrote, recorded, and put out Boom Boom Room Side B.
God bless that fucking EP.
EP, yeah. That one's got enough tracks on it to constitute as an EP. Side A is more so a record. There's more tracks on that one.
Yeah, Boom Boom Room Side B is a fucking masterpiece. I will let them have that one.
Yeah. So that's what I'm struggling with. And even like the Bastards was like... had some songs on there where it was like, okay, I see what you're doing, and then, you know, we ultimately didn't like the record, but then there were some songs where it was like,
I don't want to hear we didn't like the record. Liked you the were fucking first dick song. Writing that
I
record.
Liked the first
no,
song.
No, you were like, I think it's a good record. I was like, coping. I think it's shit.
I was coping, but we didn't like Fever Dream. And based on the fact that Glory questioned when I said I think I like this one, I'm gonna take a wild stab and say she didn't like it. Unless you're doing what you did with the Don Broco song and you're actually gonna tell me this is your favorite song of the year, we're 2 weeks in, and whatever this song is gonna be on is gonna be your album or EP of the year.
So personally, with the Don Broco song, my thing was because I didn't like the teaser tracks. And you assumed that was me saying I didn't like the song. So, yeah. But, no, I fucking hated this shit. I'm sorry. It was such a good playlist. Like, the fucking lowest EP was... Granted, I'm pretty sure it was after this immediately. So, it was a palate cleanser. But, like, fucking Kill the Lights right before this. Ryan Oaks before Kill the Lights. Fiver King, I don't know how. It was a fucking great lineup. And then he's just kind of, like, whining into the mic. I think I just don't like his vocals. I think that's just the problem. Yeah. So everything he says just sounds like whining and like trying too hard. Sorry. That's just me though. That's just how I hear your vocals. People fucking eat that shit up. So don't listen to me. So yeah, not a big fan. So yeah, that's my review.
Honestly, dude. Mm-hmm. Fair enough. I also didn't realize they put out a whole fucking EP in December.
Are you kidding me?
Called Sex Tape, Stripped, Desire, Dead to Me, Season of the Witch, and Closer. Must have totally ignored that one.
Damn, I can't believe we missed... Can't believe we missed Sex Tape. Palais Royale. I kept wanting to say Pierce the Veil. I kept trying to say Palais Royale, and Pierce just kept coming out. Fuck.
So we're unseasoned in our listening of their discography. We missed something.
If we listened to the fucking EP, we'd have been like, oh, this is the greatest song ever. This is amazing. You know what? Scrap this entire episode. Listen to the EP. Add to the list. Then we'll re-record it.
We're not doing that shit.
No, thank God.
But yeah, we'll see. Maybe I'll wind up on Glory's team. I'm in the boat of like, I thought the song was fine, but I'm like, they have clearly changed, and I am trying to cope with that one still. You know, because we knew that on Fever Dream that the band that we found is no longer the band that they are, which is fine. Bands evolve.
Bands evolve, but this one just didn't evolve in a way that we liked. So
exactly. So therefore, I'm having a hard time coping with it.
Exactly. And I've stopped coping. I've accepted it, and now I'm just bitter. So that's it.
But that is all that we have today. You can follow us on Twitter. It's good_noise_cast. Instagram's Good Noise Podcast. Facebook is Good Noise Pod. YouTube is Good Noise Podcast. Bandcamp is Good Noise Records on bandcamp.com. The merch store is Good Noise Podcast.creator/spring.com. That is a mouthful.
That is a mouthful. You could just say in the description. Yeah. Yeah.
Down there, description. Yeah, if you're listening right to the audio, it's okay. Somewhere.
Just look somewhere on our socials, our link tree. Everything's on our link tree. Our Amazon storefront as well is there as well.
Amazon storefront. If you want to buy the shit that Lori and I use to record these things. Mm-hmm. And our Patreon is patreon.com/goodnoisepodcast. Glory's got your Twitch supporters, your Patreon subscribers, and your important plugs. And then we're going to sign off.
And with the Patreon this year, we are doing more with it. So definitely sign up. It starts at $1, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, it's pay what you
So
want. Get in there
pay what
early.
you, yeah, before we change it to fucking $1 million per
Yeah.
person. So get in there, man.
Gotta pay the bills somehow, man.
Some fucking way, man. Thank you to our Patreon supporters, David Arrington, Matt from Pulses, Brady, Zari, Pop Punk Apologist, and Eric. And thank you to our Twitch subs, Coaster Lover, and Matt again from Pulses. Thank you
Thank you,
guys for your
everybody.
support. Important plugs: Black Lives Matter, Stop Asian Hate, Free Palestine. Happy MLK Day, by the way, to those who celebrate, which should be everyone, I think.
Yeah.
So yeah, be a decent person, support local bands, support your friends and bands, share their shit, because every little bit helps, you know? Who knows?
Oh
Yeah,
yeah.
that's all I got.
Well, that's all we got today. I have been Shane,
I have been Glory.
and we have been the Good Noise Podcast. We'll see you next week. Bye.
Bye.